Hello there, everybody, and welcome to the Bat Ball Podcast. We are here for episode 67. Now, I'm here back in the studio with my good friend and local councillor, Richard McRae. And you may have noticed the introduction theme music, Welcome Home by Peters and Lee. An amazing tune. Richard, what do you think about it? I know that you were...
Yeah, it's been a while since you've been in here, so it's very fitting to what we're doing today, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I was looking through what music clips I'm going to use now. I've learned how to do it, thanks to Steve. And I thought, Welcome Home has got to be on there. So what better way to come back to the studio than with someone that has podcast with me twice before, the last time in April. So it's been, six-ish months now? Yeah, 6 months bang on, nearly. How have you been?
Busy, always busy, but it's good to be busy. I'll normally say it keeps you out of trouble, but it don't always.
No. Well, I've seen on Facebook that you've been doing quite a lot of stuff. And you know, from the previous podcast, we did one in February, then we did one in April again, as I say. You were doing a lot of stuff for the community even then. So I kind of want my guests to get a bit more information about kind of what you're doing now, because obviously I know you do a lot already.
Yeah, still doing all the food banks, staple food projects, got absolutely massive. Still getting footwear for the youngsters and other people that need it. And a big thing at the minute is being a member of the VRU and doing all we can to tackle knife crime, because that's a really serious issue that we need to deal with.
Got you. So what does the VRU stand for?
So the VRU is the Violence Reduction Unit, and it comes under the umbrella of the Police and Crime Commissioner, which is pretty cool. And I've just been... I say just, a few weeks ago now, I was made an ambassador for them. So that's pretty good. It's an absolute honour to get that position. It definitely means more work, yeah. But it's something that I'm passionate about. The other ambassadors for the VRU are absolutely amazing people. I know a lot of them, and the ones that I don't know, I'm getting to know them. And we're going to do some teamwork, and it's not just going to be in Broxtow. It's not just going to be in the city. It's not just going to be in the county. It's everywhere. We've got to work together.
Absolutely. I mean, so is the... Because I've actually, before I'd seen the poster with you, was it at the Broadway Cinema?
We launched the recent social media campaigns at the Broadway Cinema. Awesome. And then that's also where we announced that I'm the latest ambassador as well.
Fantastic. So is this like a new thing, the VRU then?
So it's been going for a while. Like I say, it comes under the umbrella of the Police and Crime Commissioner. So it was set up when Paddy Tipping was the Police and Crime Commissioner. So thank you to him for all he did. We've got a new Police and Crime Commissioner now. It's carrying on. We're all doing, you know, the work that we need to do. And we need to be getting more into the schools. Unfortunately, we need to be dealing with kids that's a lot younger. So I'm saying, and the others are as well, 8 and 9 year olds we've got to be targeting, which is really sad. But if you wait till kids are a bit older, like 13 and 14, you've left it too late. You've got to get in there really early. And at the minute, we're looking at 8 and 9 year olds, and then hopefully steer them in the right direction. And we don't want reports of knife crime, because we don't want it to be a thing. You know, we've got to work with people. And I always say the biggest issue is listening to kids instead of telling them what to do, because kids know what they want. So you work with them and listen.
Absolutely. I mean, it's 8 and 9 years old. It's such a young age. I mean, my brother's only 10 now, and I was looking at a statistic a few years back. I don't know if you've ever watched the series. No, the episode. I think it's a Teenage Knife Wars, Jermaine Genus. And he did a documentary about knife crime, specifically in Nottingham, like the Meadows, St Anne's, areas like that. Although knife crime is a widespread problem. Yeah. You know, nobody will debate that. And it was talking about like 10-year-olds, you know, carrying knives now.
Scary, isn't it?
It's really, so where do you think this all kind of roots from, like knife crime? What where do you think it comes from?
I don't know. I don't know that answer. I really don't. I just think it's sad. I think there's a lot of peer pressure out there. People seem to think that they're protected if they carry a knife for protection. You're not, because the chances of someone taking it off you and you getting stabbed with your own knife, that's, you know, that could be quite high. If you're going to fall out with people and that, I mean, I remember when I was younger, you'd fall out with your friends, you'd have a bit of a scrap on the park, you'd go home, you'd get into trouble off your parents because you've dirtied your clothes and that. You'd all meet up the next day and be best friends again and just carry on. You know, people fall out, of course they do, it's part of growing up. But people are just, and when, you know, it's a minority, because the majority of kids out there, they're doing good stuff, do you know what I mean? Whether it's football or whether it's netball or whether it's into the music, whether they're into the art, there's a whole heap of things, people. Not everyone's sporty. One of my big issues has been that all the money keeps being focused on sport all the time. Not all kids are sporty, so we need to look at everything else, because you can't leave anybody behind. So I don't know where it all stems from and where it comes from, but we are where we are now, and we've got to do what we've got to do to try and tackle it. And education's a big thing. It's not just educating the kids, it's educating the parents, the carers, you know, even grandparents, anybody that looks after the youngsters. It's education's definitely the key.
So, like, maybe knowing how to spot someone that has maybe been maybe groomed into a gang.
Yeah, or there's a lot of that. So if there's a lot of social media that we've done on the VRU's done, and that's involving a lot of youngsters. There's lots of videos. So if you go on, I think it's not just Facebook. It's on all the social media platforms, because we've learned a lot of the youngsters don't use Facebook anymore. They're all TikTok and Instagram. So you've got to go where they are. There's lots of hard hitting videos on there, and they explain a lot of the things, you know, what to look out for. Just go on social media and type in violence reduction unit and it'll come up for Nottingham. And there's lots of videos on there. You know, if people can share them on their own platforms as well. It's not about pressing like buttons, it's about pressing share and let other people see them and that. You know what? You know, if you can educate one person and they think, you know what, and they put that knife down, that's pretty good feeling that you've saved one person, but we need to be saving more than one.
Absolutely, because I think a lot of people see knife crime now, we're almost desensitized to it in a way, because all you're seeing is statistics. You're seeing numbers on a screen and you're going, that's awful, but you don't actually have any real concept of what awful means. You know what I mean? It's someone that's not going to go home to the parents, you know, whether they've stabbed someone and then been stabbed, or, you know, they're a victim of it, or, you know, it's such a horrible thing. And I think, do you think that a lot of people are desensitized to the idea of it?
Yeah, but like I said, it's still a minimal thing, but one person being stabbed is one too many.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want people thinking it's like every street you go out on, there's someone with a knife. I'm hoping it's not like that. But when it does happen, it's one too many. And yeah, it doesn't affect a family, it affects a community. Because there's always two sides. There's two families involved, isn't there? There's two sides. And then as you work your way out, it doesn't just affect a family, it affects a community. A good friend of mine, her son was stabbed Boxing Day last year, and he died. You know, he'd gone out for Christmas, enjoying himself with his friends. His parents had, you know, seen him go out, happy as out, and he never came back home again. So it does, it affects the community, and it's just really sad, and we've got to do all we can to like I keep saying, and I'll never be able to say it enough, educate people, not just talk to the youngsters, but listen to them as well. And I think listening is a big part of it, and then seeing what you can do together to make it a better place.
100%, I agree, because I know as being, you know, although I've been told now not to call myself a child now, because I'm getting to that, you know, sixth form, and it's a bit of a bigger world.
Young adult.
I mean? A young adult, but I'd still class myself as a kid in some form, you know what I mean? And I know that I don't like being told what to do by people at times, because I'm like, I'm a big boy now, I can do my own things. But we do need to start, you know, telling people, and people have been told for years, you know, not to do this stuff. It's just about how we communicate with them, and obviously just telling them isn't going to actually help them, probably. It's going to, you know, they're not going to listen to you, you know, because they're going to just think, oh, he's just lecturing me now.
Yeah, and that's why I keep saying you've got to listen. I mean, I do a lot of work with the CHI Development Project in St Anne's. There's all the groups out there. They're not specific just to them. That's just a group that I work with. And we go on the parks, and you just listen to the youngsters, what they've got to tell you. And then, you know, you've got to build up that trust with them as well, because I'm not against any other councillors or anything. I'm not here to do that. But if a load of people in suits and that just go on the park and go, oh, we're doing this, what do you think? Then, of course, people are going to play up. I would have done when I was younger, and I'm sure I did. It's your attitude and everything. You know, but like I keep saying, you've just got to listen to them. And it does work. And like when the youngsters see us now, I'm down at the youth club quite a lot of times a week. We go on the parks and that with the CHI group and others as well. And you just got to listen and be there. And then people start gaining that trust in you. And then that's when they start opening up and telling you stuff. And then if need be, you can refer it to who you need to refer it to, whether it's the police or other services that's out there. Sometimes they just want someone to let off steam to. And it's like I've said, we're dead lucky in Stapleford. We're lucky in Broxton, we've got loads of football teams, but we're lucky in Stapleford. We've got Pegasus, we've got Stapleford Town Football Club, you've got Stapleford Netball Club, you've got a cricket team. We've got loads of sports stuff, but not all kids are into sporty stuff. So you need to find other outlets for them. You know, and I've been promoting stuff recently that groups are doing where they're teaching people to do this, podcasts. You know, it's an outlet, isn't it? Something positive that our youngsters are doing, like yourself included with that. A lot of kids are into art, so we need to be doing more art projects. And I keep saying, you know, we've got these great football clubs and sporting clubs and that, but there's more to it than just that. And not everyone can always afford to play football. Not everyone can afford the subs all the time. You know, I help kids that they haven't even got a couple of pairs of trainers. So we're trying to work with those as well. So you've got to cater for everything, and you only find out that by listening.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I think whenever I see things about like knife crime reduction or awareness things, it's usually in sport. You know, and obviously I think things like music as well. I think Kingdom Rap, when he came on my podcast last time he came on, he's a wicked guy, isn't he?
No, I know him, yeah.
He's a really, really nice guy. And he was talking about getting a studio set up, you know, for kids to come and make music and stuff like that. I think initiatives like that as well.
Yeah, it's needed, definitely needed. Yeah, he's really good. I said to him before, a little bit too much auto-tune, but his art's in the right place. He gets the right messages out. Benji, isn't it?
Benji, yeah.
He's absolute top guy. He's turned his life around, so he's another one that's shown you can do it. A studio is pretty cool. And that's, you know, we did all that when we was younger. We was all into music and graffiti and breakdancing and everything. It'd be good to see the kids in the studios doing stuff. And that, it's another outlet, isn't it? And it's something else that's not sporty for the kids that's not into sport.
Mm. Well, I mean, music is something that I think the majority, I'd say 99.9% of us all probably listen to every day. You know, it's something that we love and we embrace. You know, different cultures have different music, but we all share that one love for music, you know what I mean, and creation and creativity. You know, I think Broxtowe as a whole, Stapleford, Beeston, you know, Toton, the whole area, you know, it's a very creative community.
Yeah, we're lucky, aren't we?
We are.
It is very arty and there's lots of different different people into different kinds of music. I'm into my rap music. I've been to hip-hop culture since 1983. And I've always said, if you listen to rap music, you can't not like other music, because we sampled off everybody, borrowed and stole off everybody to make our own music. And it's easier now because everyone knows what the samples are. Back then, we used to cover the labels up so no one knew what you was playing.
Wow.
But it's easy to get into now. But it's still, as long as you keep it positive, we're dead lucky in Broxtowe. I've always said that. It's a good community.
It's a wonderful place to live in. Obviously, I'm from Beeston. I do go to Stapleford every now and then, but I'm obviously more in Beeston because obviously this is just where I live. And obviously you've got the Beeston Street Art Projects that are run by Jeannie and the group that she works with. I just think the initiatives around this area, you know, as a whole is fantastic. You know, but it's good to see that, you know, people like yourself are, you know, creating things for the youngsters to go out and do, because not every youngster's into what you might be interested in or what I might be interested in, you know. So giving them a wide variety of things to look to and to do to keep them out of trouble, it is good, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why I say you have to listen, because I'm dead lucky I'm a councillor. I'm dead proud to be a councillor. It means I get to stand up or sit down in meetings and make agreements and represent people and put things forward. But it's nice to listen to them. Like you mentioned Jeannie in the street art. And when that was launched, I went down to the launch of that, and we was down near the Star, is it the Star Pub? Star Inn. And we was down the alleyway there, and I said, there's loads of art murals and that all over Beeston. And I said, the proper stuff to me was the proper hardcore graffiti. And that was down the alleyway. And all the guys was there that I know from back in the day. And it's nice to see everyone doing it legally instead of getting chased off by the police like when we was younger. Mm. But back in, I'd say the late 80s, early 90s, we tried to get the council to let us have a wall to paint on, and I've still got the newspaper clipping, and we was told no, so we just went out and did it anyway. So then jump forward all these years later, I'm sitting in council meetings where applications are coming in saying, can people have these walls to paint on for the art project? I'm sat there with the biggest smile ever. I'm like, you know what? I'm actually one of the councillors that's able to say yes to this. Yeah, let's do it. So something I asked 4 years ago and was told no, I get to sit in a room where someone else asks and say yes. That was such a nuts feeling. It was, that was pretty cool, actually. That was definitely a highlight.
That's incredible, that is. That really. So one question, actually, for you. I don't know if I've ever asked you this question, but did you ever, as a younger person, foresee yourself becoming a councillor in the future?
No chance, no. I've been a councillor since January 2014. Mm-hmm. And if someone had said to me, even 3 or 4 months before that, that you'll end up being a councillor, I says, no, you're having a laugh. No chance, not a chance at all. No, and I'm never in a million years thought I'd end up being the mayor, which is just, I've got the biggest smile ever when I get to do things like that. You know, I get to put a chain on and go out and represent Broxtowe. It's proper. It's dead smart. The civic team are amazing. But yeah, if someone had said to me, you know, like 7.5 years ago, you'll be doing all this, I'd be, nah, you're having a laugh, mate. Never. So yeah, it wasn't something I'd planned. It wasn't something I was interested in. It wasn't something I was bothered about. And now I'm like, what the heck? This is the best thing ever, and I could do it forever. I don't get the saying that. That's down to people at election time, which I absolutely hate elections because I love what I do. And you could be gone the next day if people don't come out and vote for you. And it's sad and it's scary. And I'm sure other councillors feel the same because, you know, there's lots of councillors at Broxtowe, and they all do put in lots of different work. There's lots of different opinions. That's how it is, isn't it? When, yeah, you know, yeah, that's part of it. But I'm sure there's 44 councils at Broxtowe, and I'm sure there's 44 there for the right reason, doing what they think's right for the area they represent in their own way. Doesn't mean we agree with each other.
No.
But I do think they're all doing it for the right reason, and I think that's what makes Broxtowe such a great place. But yeah, I would never thought I'd be doing this. No way.
But you are, you're here, and you know you are doing it, and you're doing it to what I understand, you know, the best degree possible, you know, and what has been 7 years. Obviously, I've probably known you for maybe a year and a half, if that, you know, and I'm already seeing the great things that you're doing. You know, I think it is really good. But would you almost describe election time as almost walking on a tightrope, if you like? Do you know what I mean?
I just don't like it because obviously you've got to put your leaflets out. And yeah, that's, you know, to me as an independent, that's something I fund myself. Now, I'm sure parties get help with all that and everything. And, you know, good luck to them. It's my choice not to be in a party. The reason I went independent is not to be like, I don't want to work with anyone else, because you can't do everything on your own. My idea of being independent was so I could work with anybody from any party, and I still say that now. If any single councillor rang me up, my phone's on. Obviously, it's not on at the minute, so ring me now. But if anyone rings me and they say, Richard, can I help you with something? My answer's always going to be yes. If a councillor rings me up and says, we're doing something, can you help us? My answer's always going to be yes. And I just thought that if I was in a party, there's going to be some restrictions because someone might want you to do something and that party doesn't agree with it, then sorry, you can't do that. Or I didn't like the thought of being told how to vote on something. Because I've always said as a councillor, I'm there for the community. I'm there to represent the people at the council. And I try to do that to the best of my ability. I'm not saying I get everything right all the time, because I'm sure all of us get things wrong. And we all, you know, sometimes we get things right, sometimes we get them wrong. But as long as you're doing your best and you can explain to people why you've made your decisions, because you're accountable, and that's what happens at the next election, isn't it? You know, you put your leaflet out. If people want to vote for you, they will.
They will, yeah.
If they don't, they don't. I do think it's sad that the lack of people that come out and vote, I think there should be more. I wish it was like in Australia, where you kind of like got to go out and vote, because it's important. You know, it really is important. People have died to give people the right to vote. Look at all the stuff years ago where they never let women vote and all that, and all the, was it like the suffragettes and all the good stuff that's come from it. Everybody should, you know, if you've got the if you're old enough and you're entitled to vote, you should use it, because it's important, because so many don't, and then they moan
when there's maybe a decision that they didn't like.
Yeah. So yeah, the thing is, you know, go out and vote at election time, and this is anywhere you live, at any election, go out and vote, and then I just think, me personally, I think you've got more right to have a moan and a groan because you voted, and hopefully, you know, if the person you voted for gets in, brilliant. If they don't, someone's always going to get elected. You're there to represent, you know, I don't say to someone, did you vote for me? No, you didn't, then I'm not helping you. I don't work like that. If you're elected, you're elected. You're there to help the people that voted for you. You're there to help the people that didn't vote for you. And you're there to help the people who didn't vote at all. I just wish that more people would come out and vote. It's important.
Yeah, because there was the recent, was it Stapleford North Ward election? And obviously there was quite a low turnout.
Yeah, there was a low turnout. And you're on about the recent by-election for Stapleford North. But at the same time, there was also, on the same day, at the same time, there was an election for Brinsley. And there was three vacancies. So one and two got filled. Third one was a draw.
Really?
So I've obviously, it must have happened lots of times. I've never known it happen before. So there was a draw for Stapleford North.
Yeah.
The two names went in a hat, but it was a big envelope. It was done properly. I was there watching.
Yeah.
And one got pulled out, you know. And then we all left, but then apparently it happened straight after for Brinsley. So it happened twice on the same day at the same building. And Ruth Hyde, as the returning officer, the chief exec, had the, I'll say unlucky job, because I'm sure it's not something that she enjoyed doing, having, because people have elected two people with the same amount of votes, which is absolutely crazy, but only one of them can do it. So she had to pull the name out. So one person's happy, one isn't. And yeah, I'd be upset and angry if it had been, if that had happened to me. And, you know, and I know one of the candidates that stood in Stapleford North wasn't too chuffed that she didn't get it. And, you know, they've exchanged messages with each other, which I thought was quite nice. And let's hope that the person that did get picked does what he said he was going to do on his leaflets and that. Do you know what I mean? Because don't knock on doors to get people to vote for you to say stuff and then don't do it, because that ain't right.
No, it's not. And I think, do you know, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm going to, you know, put my hands up here and say that I'd heard of the election mainly because of the fact that I've been following a few candidates and whatnot and kind of getting a bit about it. But when I'd spoke to other people about it, they were like, what election? You know what I mean? I think, you know, there wasn't really a lot of people talking about it necessarily that I had seen, which may be one of the contributing factors for it. But I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, obviously it's not, I don't think that's the outcome that anyone wants, you know, to be picked out of a hat, you know.
Not at all.
But nonetheless, it is how it is. You've just got to keep going. And, you know, it's not a bad result for both candidates there, you know.
Right. It's just sad that it came down to a draw. I think it'd be better to win and lose something than a draw. It's like going to penalties, isn't it? I guess. I don't know. But, no, it is a sad time. But, like I say, I wish more people would come out and vote. But by-elections are always a little bit low. Normally, you know, a general election is probably where you get more people coming out.
Because everybody knows about it.
People vote for the party that they want to, or, you know, but I do wish, and I think you guys, and also Bramcote today, Sue is absolutely brilliant, trying to encourage people to look into it first. I can't remember what the wording was. Can you remember?
Take note then.
Yeah, that's it. Take note then vote. And I think people should do. Look at who you're voting for. And if they're in a party, you know, still look at the person, not the party. And if they're not in a party, look at the person and see, you know, see what they're doing. You can prove what you've done. You can't prove what you're going to do. So look at someone's track record as well.
Absolutely. Because the reason that when I spoke to Bramcote today about, and when I spoke to Sue specifically about this, we had the ideas and we knew what we wanted, but we didn't quite know the wording. Then we got the wording together and we thought, well, people often just vote, right, he's got a red rosette, he's got a blue rosette, he's got a yellow, whatever. You've got to see past the party politics and you've got to see, what is this candidate going to bring to my area? Because you could be a Labour supporter and Labour's views might suit you, but this candidate's views might be the completely different for your community. So it's about looking into your candidates. And I'd like to say that hopefully it had some effect on people and hopefully people saw the campaign and went, you know, maybe I am going to have to think a bit more about
it. It's one of them slowly things, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you start a campaign, you get the word out there, and then hopefully, I mean, the next elections, unless there's any by-elections, is 2023. You know, it's a while away, but it's not. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of the councillors that still councillors would like to get elected again. You might get some that's done it and don't want to do it anymore, so it does create a vacancy for someone else, you know. But at the end of the day, you don't know how people are going to vote. You could end, you know, Stapleford's got 18 town councillors. You could end up with 18 new people. Broxton Borough Council's got 44 vacant, you know, spaces for the councillors. You could end up with 44 brand new councillors. You just don't know. And it's not just scary for councillors, you know, like that standing again. I can imagine it's quite a scary time for the staff, because you've got a lot of experience around them tables, and I always think you need a mix. You do need people that's done it a long time, because they know protocol, they know the way to do things, because that's important as well. It's not just policies and procedures and decisions you're making. Anybody can do that bit. But I think all the pomp and ceremony, as they call it, and I think we're pretty good at that in this country.
You've
got to get that right as well. So it's all things that make up a council. You need your guys, the people that's done it for a long time, you know, and then you need your new ones as well, because they've got fresh ideas. Just the same as you need some folk that's a bit older, and you need some youngsters as well. You need everybody, but it's getting people to want to be involved. And I think sometimes when they see all the arguing and the infighting, it puts a lot of people off. It really does. And like I say, I only got into it because I thought my councillors at the time were rubbish. And I put my name down and I was dead lucky because I won. And I was like, oh dear, what do I do now? And like I says, I've never looked back. I love it. I enjoy it. I really do enjoy it.
Yeah, because obviously throughout the last two episodes, we've kind of highlighted, you know, what you've done so far. And I think, you know, you're still continuing to do great things. And obviously we kind of got a bit into what you used to do in the past as well. Obviously, you used to be a bouncer. But we were talking earlier, when we were talking about the software that I use, which is called VoiceMeter, by the way, for anybody that wants to use it. I spent £700 on a PC and didn't even need it. All I needed was some free software.
Yeah, and it's impressive, isn't it?
It is impressive stuff. We're just looking at the little green bars going up and down. It's really satisfying. But you did things with DJing in the past. Tell me a bit more about that.
Yeah, I was into my hip-hop music from 83. Mm-hmm. And then I saved up some pennies and that. And I started buying vinyl. And then I was dead lucky because I was able to save up a bit more. And I got some Technic 1210s. And then I spent 25 years as a hip-hop DJ. So you very rare if you heard me play record from start to finish, because we start messing around, scratching it and mixing with it and everything.
Yeah.
And then I've been out with some amazing artists, and one of the highlights was definitely Rock City in Nottingham. Walking on stage with Public Enemy was absolutely bonkers. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Cypress Hill, House of Pain, Funk Doobies, South Central Cartel was a big one. And a lot of people won't know the name of that group, but you can Google it, it'll come up. Mm. And one of their singers actually did Gangster's Paradise, and I don't mean the version with Coolio, I mean the original Gangster's Paradise, but then they mixed it together. I had the opportunity to go over there, and I could have done some tracks with them, and stupid as I was, I didn't go. And then they ended up doing some tracks with Tupac and everything, so I proper missed out there. But wow. You know, it is what it is. I've been out to New York a few times and that, so yeah, hip-hop it still is a big thing for me. I'm still involved in all that lot. We've got an event coming up on the 20th of November at Leeds Museum. We do stuff up there every year. We get the kids involved, get them breakdancing, get them on the mics. We've got little studios up there and that, so we teach them stuff like that. They do a bit of the drawing, we get them into the street art, the graffiti and everything. And then, yeah, it's good fun. And I'd like to do something like that more local. And I've got a plan, but I ain't saying anything yet because I don't want anybody pinching my idea or trying to spoil my idea. So, yeah, we'll see what we can do. But, yeah, I've always been involved in hip-hop and I always will be. I'm an old breakdancer.
That's wicked, that is. I mean, you know, everybody that's listening now, you've just got an exclusive hint there that nobody else is getting. So, as long as you don't post it on Facebook.
No, I'm not that.
We've got an exclusive hint. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, there's been many times I've spoiled things that I was going to do on there, but that really is incredible. So you could have worked with Tupac, but nonetheless, you're still doing great things anyway. And you still enjoy it.
Yeah, I still do my community stuff. I enjoy it. Community first, always.
Mm, absolutely. Well, so how long have you lived in in Stapleford then?
Since I was 6 months old. So I'll say I can't say all my life because it's not, because when I was born October 71, if you work that one out, I was 50 last week.
Happy birthday for them, from all of us.
And thank you to Tim and David Grindle, Steve Carr, my wife Donna, and I get an excuse now to say my daughter Danny's name because she told me I'm not allowed to mention a name on the radio, but I am doing so. Thank you, Danny, for sorting out a surprise party for me. And I've lived in Stapleford since I was 6 months old. Lived in Bloomwoods Flats before that, but I can't remember that.
Yeah.
So yeah, near enough all my life.
All your life, that's amazing. And so throughout your life, you've been a bouncer, you've done DJing, you've been to New York doing things. You're a councillor, mayor. What else do you need to tell me? This is incredible.
I can remember ages ago. I used to do a lot of work with a guy called Henry Baptiste. He was an officer at Broxton Borough Council, and he did a job fair in Eastwood, and I went to it, and I told him it was rubbish, and he says, "Well, do better." And I thought, I'm up for that. If I say to someone we're sweeping the street today, I'm grabbing a brush. If I say we're litter picking today, then I'm grabbing a bag and I'm litter picking. You should never expect somebody to do something you won't do yourself. So I was like, okay, we set a challenge here. So I did a job fair. He came along. That was pretty cool. And then a few weeks ago, I did my 19th job fair. So wow. I'm still doing them. I'm actually in the middle now of planning my... Because I went to the one that Darren Henry did, which was pretty good as well. In fact, it was really good. And then I'm actually started planning my next one, which will be in March next year, which is the 20th job fair.
Wow.
So, yeah, you've got to keep busy. I enjoy doing my job fairs. It helps people get back into work. And I say job fair, it's more than that, because we teach people, you know, interview skills and stuff like that. So it's not just getting people job ready. I think that's the word we use. So it's not just getting someone a job. It's getting them ready. That could be helping people with CVs, helping people with footwear and clothing. Because, you know, you want to turn up at the interview right. You want to have your CV right. So it's just getting people job ready and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I love doing my job fairs.
So so how many people would you say on average probably attend these?
The job fairs?
Yeah.
I don't know because I don't count. I stopped counting ages ago. They're always busy.
Mm.
We normally get, give or take, around about 18 organisations there.
Wow.
And then they're kind of busy for a little bit and then it dies down a little bit and then it gets busy again. Okay. So people just turn up as and when they want. But over the 19 job fairs we've done, it's hundreds of people, definitely.
Wow.
Because I remember years ago, a certain person that used to run the country at the time thanked me for doing the job fairs. And at the time then, I'd helped 250 people get back into work.
Wow.
And that was a long time ago. So since then, I don't know. I really, honestly don't know how many it is. I just know it's a lot of people. And I enjoy doing it. It's nice when someone comes up to you and says, you know, I got my first pay packet last week, Richard, thank you. It's a pretty cool feeling, actually.
Must be so rewarding because, you know, I think the idea of making money for doing something nice for people is something that a lot of people go, oh, yeah, I love making money. Whereas actually just the reward of, you know, getting someone a job or getting someone into a position where they can prosper by themselves is fantastic.
This youngster come up to me. I say youngster, I don't know how old he is now.
Yeah.
And a few years ago, I'd helped him with his CSCS training because that's something I'm big on, helping people with that.
Mm.
And then it means they can end up working on building sites. And he came up to me and he was staring for ages and he went, are you the one that does the CSCS courses? And I'm like, yeah, that's me. And he says, oh, I've been looking for you for ages. I just wanted to say thank you. He says, I've got a job on a building site in San Diego. And he says, and when we're done there, we're going to Leicester. He says, so they've took me on full time. And this is all because he'd got his course. And he said he'd been able to buy loads of presents for his kid for Christmas. And I was like, you know what? He didn't have to come and find me to say thank you. I didn't do it for that. But it's one of them teary eye moments because it's pretty cool that you've helped somebody. And then their kids are benefited as well. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, it gets me every time that does.
It's a really nice gesture to kind of, you know, and I think when it comes to job fairs and stuff, you know, like the idea of getting someone a job, you know, it's almost like people just have this imaginary vision of, well, you just go out and get a job. It's not difficult. You know, everybody does it. But, you know, it's actually quite difficult, you know, people not knowing how to have interviews. And luckily, schools are kind of trying to teach kids a bit more from my experience. They're teaching our year quite a lot about CVs and stuff like that. But for a lot of people, they didn't. And you know, obviously there's a lot of jobs going at the moment in the country because we're in a bit of a weird position, but obviously people needing to fill them. So things like job fairs and stuff, really, really good. So you say the next one's in March?
Yeah, I do 2 a year, one in March and one in September. So yeah, the next one's going to be someday in March. I ain't sorted the date out or anything yet, but I know when we're aiming for. And that will be at the Cliffhill Community Centre in Stapleford. And we have like the Army come, the Navy, the Air Force and all them lot, and then like loads of different other people. But I say it's not just about jobs, it's about helping people get job ready and anything else they might need. So the job fairs are going to do 2 a year, one in March, one in September. I've also got another fair coming up soon, which is, it's like a job fair, but it's not a job fair. And I'm not going to say too much because again, it's not sorted yet, but we've got another fair coming up soon. And that's going to help a lot of people. But it's not jobs. That's all I'm saying on that one.
See, we've got more hints there, guys. Look, would you believe this? You came to this podcast thinking, oh, it's the first one back in the studio. No, you're getting two hints. You're getting a music clip at the start. You're getting Richard talking to me. What? This is amazing. You know, and I just wanted to kind of thank you, obviously, for coming on. And this isn't the end of the episode, but just thank you for being here. Because the first episode back in the studio since last September. The year before, it's great to have you. And obviously, I gave you a bit of a tour.
It's an amazing building. I won't say where we are because it might be a secret studio. I don't know, but yeah, it was one of them wow moments. The place is amazing, and the views are nuts. You need a telescope, though.
I will say, don't worry, you don't have to keep it secret. We're at the Vic, but out of the window, I do think you're onto something with the telescope.
Definitely.
How much are telescopes? I don't know.
They're cheap enough nowadays. And I mean, I've heard of this place before, but I didn't know where it was. I didn't know anything about it. And when I pulled up outside, I was like, what the hell? The building's massive. And then when I've come in, I've got nothing against new pubs or anything, but this is like a proper pub. And they do food and everything, so I don't know, you're getting a free advert here. If you want some food and that, I'm going to have a look at the menu when we're done yapping. Definitely come down, and you've got to support your local pubs, because if you don't, they won't be here. And this building's amazing, and I don't want to see this come down. And some, I've got nothing against students and that, but it doesn't need to be student accommodation. It doesn't need to be nice modern houses and that. There's a place for all that. This needs to stay what it is. So come down and have a drink and something to eat, and then long may it be here.
Oh, well, thank you very much. See, do you know the thing is, though, people are going to message me going, have you asked him to do that advert for you? Have you asked him? He slipped in 20 quid there. You know, it's... But thank you very much for that. You know, obviously...
It's my pleasure. The building's amazing.
Thank you. My granddad first took it over in the 90s, I think 94, 96 maybe, one of the two. Obviously, I wasn't born then. I wasn't even a thought at this point, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, the building was a zoo beforehand, which I was telling you about, and you said that Beeston had a zoo before Strelley.
Yeah, I can't believe it was a zoo. So, yeah, Beeston, another win for Beeston.
Yeah.
Definitely had a zoo before Strelley.
It did. There used to be goldfish behind the bar, but I don't think they were goldfish. I'm pretty sure... I think they were piranhas, actually.
Okay.
And then there was a bear. There's a famous picture with a guy with a bear on a leash behind what would now be the bar. And obviously when those guys left, my granddad took it over, and you know, it was all Tyne Mill, which is now Castle Rock, and there's so much history in one building. Do you know what I mean? We were coming in here when we were fixing up the studio, and there was floppy disks from 1999.
Wow.
You know, or the early 2000s, and you know, with all videos and...
Yeah, I remember all that.
It's crazy. You know, these little things can only store, what, 2 megabytes on them? And you think this podcast is going to take up, what, 400 megabytes or something like that of storage?
That would have been dead good. I was a proper computer geek when I was younger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and when I was at school, I did work experience at Cripps Hall at Nottingham University.
Yeah.
So what's this, 1987, 1988? And I got offered a job at IBM.
Wow.
And I turned it down.
No, you're turning things down, bro.
Yeah, I know.
Why did you turn it down?
Because they wanted me to go away on training courses and stuff, which was quite far away. I wanted to go out painting trains.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I don't regret not doing what I haven't done, because it happened for a reason. And I just think, you know what, I'm dead lucky where I am now. I'm dead proud where I am now. I think I'm trying to, well, I know I'm doing the best I can.
Mm.
I hope people, you know, appreciate that and perhaps like what I'm doing. I hope they do. But yeah, some of my friends that got into computers and that, you know, they got houses in like Sydney and London and that, and they got swimming pools. And when I see like on LinkedIn and they've got scuba diving as a hobby and that, I'm like, yeah, that could have been me. But it don't bother me that it's not. I just think it's funny that IBM wanted me when I was like 16 and I said no to them.
Wow. But you've had a great quality of life and you've done a lot of things as a young person.
Yeah, I've not missed out on anything. My mum and dad always, you know, my mum and dad always did what they do, what parents do. We always had holidays, always had the best stuff. I remember having an Atari game system.
Wow, I was just about to ask you if you had the gaming console.
No one else probably had one, and we used to play that and then have to run to school because we was going to be late. I've not missed out on nothing. I won't say I've been lucky, because to me that's how it should be.
Yeah.
I just think it's sad that not everybody has them opportunities, especially nowadays. And, you know, there is a lot of breakdowns in relationships and it knock-on effects to the kids and that. I've got a lot of friends that I won't swear and say what I think they are, because I think they're absolute idiots. They don't see the kids, and I don't get that. I got a 16-year-old daughter, and there ain't nothing in the world I want to do for her.
Hmm.
I don't understand why people don't want to see the kids sometimes, and I just think it's sad when relationships break down. I know it can't be helped. I just think it's really sad, but that wasn't me. I wasn't brought up like that, so sometimes I don't understand it. But I still work with lots of people like that, and they're some of the nicest people ever. And like I say, the youngsters are nice. It's not their fault, is it?
No, it's not.
It was nice. Yeah, growing up, Perth Drive I lived on. I always say Poshy Street in Stapleford. If houses even now go for sale on there, not even 24 hours, people are queuing up to get on there. It's still the best street ever. Knock a door, run and all that, you know, all the normal stuff you do when you're young. But yeah, I've got brilliant memories of being young and growing up.
Absolutely. Do you know, I think there's one main thing that I think people are getting confused in life, because people are always talking about money, and as I mentioned a few moments ago, you know, it's all about money, it's all about making money, but they forget what quality of life are you actually living, you know, doing things as a young person.
Yeah.
You know, are you doing things as a young person, or, you know, what
No, I learned years ago, money's not... Of course you need money. You've got to pay bills and everything. But, you know, if you can't afford it, don't have it. This is my attitude. It doesn't mean it's everyone else's. If you can't afford it, don't have it. If you want it, save up for it. I've had the nicest cars. I've had really nice cars, actually, when I was younger. I've had really good jobs making an absolute ton of money. I worked at Marks and Spencer's for 9 years. And at the busiest times of the year, we was doing between 80 and 90 hours a week. I won't say work. I always say we attended for 80 or 90 hours a week. We probably did about 10 hours work and then hid the rest from the supervisors. And then I started working on the doors and I realised you make more money doing a weekend on the doors than you do working your nuts off in a warehouse. So I did that. And then I was a doorman for 13 years and I made an absolute ton of money. And again, I had the nicest cars and everything. But, you know, my daughter's come along and everything and that's all that's important. You know, I've got enough money for what we need, and that's all that matters. And I, like I said, I enjoy helping people. And yeah, it's definitely not about money, because, you know, I've never been to skint in my life, but I've never had so much fun. You know, you can't let money rule you. And I don't know, I just changed my attitude when my daughter came along, and it's more fun. I'm enjoying it. Yeah, it's good.
I think it's good that people are getting, because... You know, there's all these, like, I don't know if you've seen them, but there are all these people that stand up in front of 1,000 people with the big gold watch on. They say, money, you know, just live a good life and all that, whilst they're sitting on their how many millions and stuff with probably not a great quality of life compared to other people, maybe. Such as yourself, you know, you've lived a good life and you've done everything you want to do. And I think it's important that people realise that family, you know, family, friends and quality of life should come before that.
I've been there with all the gold chains, though, when I was a DJ.
Oh, yeah.
I had all the gold chains and the big gold rings. I've kept one of them.
Well, you've got to, haven't you?
But no, I weighed all that in ages ago. It's, yeah, it's not me anymore. I, like I say, I enjoy what I'm doing, and money, you know, it's nice to have it. And I'd like to win the lottery. Who wouldn't? I mean, there's somebody win £184 million every week.
Yeah.
You could help so many people. That's my attitude. Yeah, I'd buy a new car and I'd buy an absolute ton of Nike Air Force One trainers because I love them. But you could help so many people. You know, like you could top up the food banks and stuff a lot more. You could, yeah, it'd be nice. I'd buzz off helping people, like spending that money on helping others and making their life better. But I didn't win, someone else did.
Well, but let's just say, let's put a scenario into your head now, right, into the heads of the guests. If I had £184 million in my hand and I've gone, there you go, what do you think you would do with that to help other people?
I would look to see what people want. And I mean, I already know in my head a bunch of people where I'd like to go onto a building site and go, right, I want 10 houses, and then just knock on someone's door and go, here's some keys. I know who them people are already. I know what charities and organisations that I support already that I'd be able to help a bit more, and I kind of know some of the stuff they need, so I'd just go out and buy it all. You know, can you imagine going to Sandycliffe and saying I want 10 minibuses? It'd be nuts, wouldn't it? Or not just Sandycliffe, there is other people. But yeah, it'd be pretty cool. And when you get into bed at night and you go to sleep and you think, you know what, I've just helped all them people, and that's what I do now. But yeah, if you had that money to do that, it would be cool. But yeah, Donna would tell me off, because I would buy a lot of trainers.
Where are we going to put all these trainers now, Richard? Where we're going to have to buy another house just for the amount of trainers we've got here? It's all right, I'll buy another 5 more, why not? You know.
But yeah, it would. It would be nice to have money to be able to help people more, definitely, like that. But for myself, I don't need any money for anything. I've got enough for what we need. We pay what we need to pay. We do what we need to do, and then we just help. Yeah, you have to help people. I would say you're a long time dead, aren't you? You might as well enjoy being alive and absolutely helping people, you know. Absolutely. That's just my attitude at the minute.
Well, you've only got limited time. You know, there's the, as Ricky Gervais once said, you know, life's life and there's no sequel.
No.
So, you know, get on with it, and obviously, you know, help people out in the process. You know, it's a really nice thing what you're doing. And, you know, I don't know if it's a bit of a personal kind of question, but how long do you think you will be a councillor for? You know, if you have the opportunity.
I've got no say in that one, have I? I mean, you know, next elections are 2023. At the minute, I'd like to stand again.
Yeah.
It's 18 months away, isn't it? A lot can happen in 18 months, can't it?
Of course.
You know. And then if I do feel that it's still something I want to do in the direction I want to go in, I'll put my name down again. I've got no say in it, have I?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's a tricky one because I do. I love what I do. I enjoy what I do. I've got no choice in the matter on that one.
Mm.
If someone said you could be a counsellor for as long as you want to be, yeah, I'll sign up for that. But it don't work like that, unfortunately. And I'm sure there's others that doing the same. You know, there's other councillors out there that would like to do it forever. There's some that's lucky. They have, I don't know, they call it a safe seat. I don't think there's anything such thing as a safe seat. People just... they can change, can't they? You see it, you know, someone could have been in an area for ages and then all of a sudden it changes and it goes a different colour. Mm. But that's back to that take note then vote, you know, look at the person you're voting for rather than the party you're voting for.
Well, yeah, I mean, what Dennis Skinner was in his constituency for 49 years or something like that, and then obviously he lost his seat and Mansfield was always Labour and now it's Blue, you know what I mean? It's... anything can happen, and I think it does reference to that kind of walking on a tightrope thing. You know, you never know. You could walk to the other end and be fine, but you could also fall off midway through. You know what I mean?
I mean, my attitude is, you know, if I do decide to stand again and I get elected, then that's what's supposed to be, isn't it? If it doesn't, then I'll move on to the next thing.
Yeah, yeah. And
whatever that next thing is, I ain't got a clue, but I'll be the best at doing it.
So no matter what, you're always going to be helping the community.
Yeah, yeah. You have to, don't you? You know. And there's lots of people, it's not just me, there's loads of people out there that's helping in different ways. So, some ways I agree with, some I don't, but they're still helping people, and I'm sure there's people that don't agree with what I'm doing, you know, and of course there is. But we're all doing our best to the best of our ability, and I don't think you can knock anybody for that, can you?
No, absolutely.
Like I said, you might not agree with the way people are doing things, but if we're all... doing stuff to the best of our ability to help people, then it's the end result, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because everybody's going to please their own individual audience.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's it. See, the thing is, you can't please everyone.
Not all the time.
No, not all the time. No, not all the time. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure if I held up, if I gave everybody in the UK a big bar of chocolate or something, or had £1 million for everybody there, I'm sure that'd please everyone. Maybe, you know, maybe, but. You know what I mean? You can't please everyone, unfortunately. And I think it's the same with these things sometimes. You know, I sometimes don't please myself. I go, why did I say that? Or why didn't I do it? You know, it's just one of them things, isn't it? You know. Richard, I haven't clicked record.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
That's a little inside joke there, because
we did one of these ages ago and we'd spoke for about an hour. And then someone had not pressed the record button, so we kind of had to do it again. Yeah, that was fun.
That's someone... Well, you know, I've heard reports that say that someone may have been me. I can't confirm nor deny. That was pretty embarrassing. I've done the same with Genie before. Very typical of me there, but there you go. What you see is what you get. You get a bit of a dope with me, so there you go. But it was... Don't get me wrong, though. We had a right good chat there as well. We missed out on a lot of content, which I'm hoping that we've kind of covered...
We've got some of it, haven't we?
Absolutely. I mean, so but yeah, it's been great having you here today.
Obviously, it's my pleasure. I think it's dead good what you do, so anytime, you know, like I said, we're all there, we've got to help the younger generations and that, so if I can give up a little bit of my time and come and sit here, it's a lot better than doing it online, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I'm up for that. It's always my pleasure.
I had to, you know, I wasn't fully done with the studio. I was still a bit like new to all of this. This is all still very new to me. You know what I mean? And I was a bit worried, am I jumping in a bit too quick? But then I thought, do you know what? No. I think, you know, face-to-face chat is more human. Do you know what I mean? It's more personal and you get to see the person. So
it's a lot better, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I know one thing I do need to mention. I just forgot earlier, but I'll say it now. On the 6th of November at 12 o'clock, at dinner time, so don't come out at 12 o'clock at night because that's way too late. So 6th of November, 12 p.m, we're trying to get as many people as possible onto Hickins Lane Park in Stapleford, and then we're going to start from Hickins Lane Park and we're going to walk down Hickins Lane along Church Street and then into the town centre, and we're doing a Stapleford knife crime walk, and then I've got Kai Development Project to come in, we've got Joe's Project, Joe's World, Kai Development Project, Stapleford Community Group. If anyone else wants to get involved and come and talk, then please do. There's a group in Nottingham and a group in Derby that's been set up against knife crime, which is a good thing. It's one of them, it's sad that it's got to be done, but it has got to be done. So we've invited them to come along as well, and we're going to try and get some parents and carers, grandparents, whatever, that's lost people to knife crime to come and talk. So if anyone wants to get involved with that, give me a shout. And like I said earlier, my phone's always on. And then we'll see how many people we can get marching down. And like I say, we've got to make a start somewhere, haven't we? So that's on the 6th of November, Saturday the 6th of November, 12 o'clock, Ickings Lane Park. And that's the Stapleford Knife Crime Walk.
Definitely get involved in the walk if you possibly can. Please do go down and take part, because obviously it does mean quite a lot, and it's going to speak about and to show that people are, you know, joining together to support victims of knife crime, and also to speak about knife crime. So if you are available, please do that walk. And thank you very much, Richard, for joining me today.
Always my pleasure.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you in here, and hopefully you've all enjoyed it. So I'm going to add a little music clip to outro this. It won't be Welcome Home, but it might be Welcome Home Backwards or something like that. but yeah, thank you very much. That was Richard McRae, episode 67 there of the Backboard Podcast. Thank you all very much. Goodbye.